teaching coal miners how to code computer in the heart of Appalachia. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton visits with the founder of a company that is helping workers adjust to the 21st century job market. For out-of-work miners, the future is now. And this for-profit company is churning out great products and lots of repeat business. That story's next on Techonomics.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. Okay, let's return to a theme. It's the theme of the economy. She is a changin'. Automation and robots are disrupting the labor market in a larger, faster way than many experts saw coming. Massive unemployment, guaranteed monthly incomes, or payroll taxes on assembly line robots, they are all part of the discussion. Recently, we had Wired Magazine co-founder Kevin Kelly on Techonomics to talk about this very issue. And Wired is also where we saw the first story about coal miners learning how to program computers and code. Now, that was in Tennessee. It was called Code 10. This story is from Pikeville, Kentucky, and the for-profit business is called BitSource. Same concept, different approach. And BitSource is addressing one regional epidemic as well and doing it head-on, opiates.
We're trying to solve our own problems, and one of the things that we're trying to do is kind of try to help answer the opioid epidemic. And so what we've done is we've developed a prototype, an app. And the best way that I can describe it to anyone is it's sort of like Uber for naloxone. Naloxone is this drug that will basically negate the effects of an overdose.
Here's my interview with the founder of BitSource.
My name is Justin Hall, and I'm the president of BitSource.
Yeah, well, let's get started with just a working definition of BitSource, Justin.
So yeah, BitSource is a software development company, and we're located in Pikeville, Kentucky, in the heart of Appalachia, rural Appalachia. We started in the fall of 2014 based on a question that was asked, could we, you know, teach a coal miner to code? And so then from that, we basically built this business that has the mission to provide jobs, high-tech jobs, to out-of-work former coal industry professionals. And so that's where we've based our operations out of in Pikeville. In March of 2015, we hired 10 of those former coal industry professionals that were laid off. We started an apprenticeship, and we hired those 10 people to start a journey with us. And 22 weeks later, after their training, we took on our first client, and we are now developing websites, apps, interactions, and have aspirations to do other things in technology.
Right on.
And things are going pretty well.
It sounds good. You know, I was born in your neck of the woods, as they say. I was born in Charleston, West Virginia.
So cool.
I know where Pikeville is. Let me clarify one thing real quick. Now, you are a business. You are in business to make money, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And you saw a market opportunity with a workforce that needed work and work that needed done. And you're bridging those two things with a labor force that is, let's say, non-traditional for the kind of work that you're doing. And so how has the success rate been so far?
So we set out to do two things. Could we teach a coal miner to code? And could we enter the marketplace? And so far, we've been able to do both. And what we found out, too, is that the coal miner, which traditionally has been thought of with a pickaxe and a shovel, really works with a lot of high-tech machinery and a lot of high-tech, systems. So the transition from working outside all day or underground and getting dirty most of the time was really not that big of a transition to move into working behind a computer all day and working with new tools like Sublime and Git and learning technology, especially programming, and being able to solve problems. Because, really, coal miners are just engineers that get dirty. So,
right.
So the transition wasn't all that difficult. It was just a process. And once we went through it, we proved that we could do it. Now what we're doing is getting into certain markets. You know, everybody has a hashtag nowadays, and we do too. We've exported coal for many years in this area, and now what we want to do is export code.
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're programming. We're developing solutions for companies, small to medium-sized businesses that need things like websites, web apps, applications, mobile apps,
right,
and, even games and VR, AR experiences.
Very cool. So, sometimes when people hear the phrase or job title, computer programmer, computer coder. You think somebody really entrepreneurial or somebody in a zeitgeist kind of situation, but this is nuts and bolts work a lot of times. And so the skill set that a coal miner or an industrial or manufacturer may bring to something is more about mentality, right? It's like, hey, there's a problem. Let's solve the problem. Let's get it done and move on. Is that what you're finding with your talent?
Oh, exactly. At the very heart of it, at the very, you know, base layer is just problem solving. You know, how can we get from A to B? How can we make this do that? How can we, you know, find an answer? And that's one of the things that we're trying to do. You know, we were forged out of the SOAR initiative, and SOAR is Shaping Our Appalachian Region. It was a bipartisan effort between Congressman Hal Rogers and former Governor Beshear. And it has gone very well in producing things where we're solving our own problems. And so BitSource is really the result of someone saying, hey, can we solve this problem to bring tech to Appalachia? And yes, we can. And so now what we've got is just a lather, rinse, repeat for everybody that comes in our door. Can we do this? Well, let's solve that problem.
We're speaking with Justin Hall. He runs and helps run BitSource, which is a coding company in eastern Kentucky. What are the prospects for BitSource moving forward into 2017 and beyond?
So what we wanted to do initially was work within our circle of influence, people that we knew, our local markets. And so we've developed some sites so far for local government and local businesses. One of those sites we just released, whypikeville.com, and it's an answer to an economic development opportunity in Pikeville. And so we're doing those kind of things, working within our circle of influence, and we're trying to expand it. And so far, we're doing a pretty good job with it. We have been working with a Fortune 500 client, and we received repeat business from the client. And now we're also working with clients in Texas and San Francisco. So we're expanding our reach and expanding our circle of influence to be able to say, hey, we can do this work. This is not just, you know, the next Jamaican bobsled team or, you know, the dancing bear. It's can the dancing bear dance well? And we're actually proving that, you know, we can. We can code and we can solve problems. So we hope to continue that and expand our reach.
You know, you have been doing very well. You've got a really good track record. I'm glad you mentioned your repeat business. That's a great indicator for an entrepreneur's success. I have a question for you, and it's not meant to sound anything other than just fact gathering. So when you are onboarding new talent, raw talent, what's a challenge that that person may face? What's something typical you see as you're trying to get these people up to speed, if you will, so they can be client facing?
Sure. So one of the things that we did was we had a different approach to training. Rather than just saying, okay, you've got a course or you've got a semester, one of the first things we did, since we're an agile development house, is we taught agile. You know, if you go to agilemanifesto.com, you can read all about that.
Right.
And that is a great resource. We wanted to make sure that our team could learn how to learn and learn how to adjust. So they learned how to solve problems with these new tools using the Agile method.
That's great. Agile is very useful, very dynamic. And in case you're not a coder or you're looking for other things to search, design thinking is kind of along the same lines as Agile. So, Justin, what is a, let's say, out-of-the-box problem that BitSource is trying to solve there locally?
Well, one of the things that we've been trying to do is answer the opioid epidemic, or at least not answer it, but at least help solve some of the problems that are happening. And so what we've done is we've got a proof of concept where we've developed an app. And the app will allow people to anonymously send out a request that there's been an overdose, that someone in their vicinity has seen or witnessed to or is a part of an overdose. And when they send that message up, the system records it, knows where they are, and will respond with sending out across the network of responders this request for help, this SOS. And so then the responders are able to then see that and sort of like Uber, be able to take this drug, this naloxone drug that negates the effects of the overdose to that person directly where they are. With their geolocation stored in the system, they're able to go directly there. So We've developed this proof of concept. We're trying to get it in front of people to see if, you know, this is a worthwhile investment and a potential, you know, maybe not a game changer, but at least something that could save somebody's life.
Well, that's yeoman's work, Justin. Great approach. Let's keep tabs on that and let's talk about it again soon. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
That was Justin Hall, president of BitSource. It's a software development company based in the heart of Appalachia, Pikeville, Kentucky. BitSource has been retraining former coal miners, teaching them to code websites, mobile apps, and even an Uber-like service for people overdosing on opiates. The opiate epidemic, sadly, mirrors the other epidemic of disappearing jobs across Appalachia. So-called clean coal, well, it's eventually going to run out. And for that matter, there are only about 70,000 coal miners left in the United States. The labor force has been summarily reduced due to automation, technological advancements where robots and machines are more efficient and profit-generating than humans digging underground. We cover this topic quite a bit. So if you're interested in more discussions around it, please check out KGORadio.com/techonomics for more podcasts. Or you can search iTunes, Stitcher, and Audioboom. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.